Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour, Your Defending Fathers. Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us on the line every Tuesday, Ian Murphy, the owner of the Iron Pig Smokehouse over in Gaylord, Michigan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Trucker Randy.
Well, the election is over. Our candidate did not win for governor. Perry Johnson basically got his butt kicked because of, in my opinion, Donald Trump's endorsement of John James. I think that endorsement was the absolute get-out-the-vote effort for John James. President Trump wants him. That's the guy I'm voting for. And I think that's what happened. What's your perspective, your takeaway from last Tuesday's election?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it seems like it's more of the same that we've seen here in Michigan the last couple of election cycles, quite frankly. There's a real division, even Trump being elected in 24, there still was a big division between libertarians and Republicans. It just so happened that a lot of libertarians in that election crossed over to vote for Trump, and some did not vote for Mike Rogers in that election. And I think you're sort of seeing the same thing here. A lot of the libertarian folks didn't cross over to vote for John James. They did vote for Perry Johnson. The real question is whether or not those same libertarians will cross over and vote for John James and not sit out the governor race, if that makes sense. I am hearing some of that. I'm hearing some of that from some of the libertarians that they may just sit out the governor race and not choose one side or the other. I hope that's not going to be the case. But he is the nominee. So we've got to support John James from here on out.
Well, as being a libertarian, what about Anthony Hudson, the guy that got the nomination from the Libertarian convention? Is that a possibility, somebody that you would vote for?
No. In my opinion, nothing personal against Anthony Hudson. He was running as a Republican. Was kind of pushed out of that race, in my opinion, and then decided to go for the Libertarian nomination. And in my opinion, and again, nothing against Libertarians in Michigan, but most of them just don't seem like serious people. I had to move away from that camp a year or two ago when they decided that what is the voting initiative that they were trying to push. I can't even remember the name of the darn thing now.
You can
select first place, second place, third place.
Oh, ranked choice voting.
Yeah, I had to split with them on that. It's like, no, you get one vote. You're not getting multiple votes.
Right, exactly. First place, second place, third place. No, that's not a way to vote. One of the things I wanted to get your perspective on too is business owners. Where do you think the business owners, the business public, are going to come down looking at the choice between Benson and James. She, of course, more or less like Whitmer, wants to continue a lot of the corporate handouts and different things, completely buys into, you know, MEDC and corporate bribes, in my opinion. Money laundering scheme is all it is. Where do you think the business world's going to come down?
I have a feeling that very similar to the Trump election in 24, I talked to so many business owners, and not just in the restaurant world, architects, construction people. They were literally holding their breath waiting for Trump to be elected before their customers were pulling the trigger on big projects. I have a feeling that's what's going to happen here in Michigan, is a lot of people are going to see what Benson is going to continue to do from the last 8 years and vote for John James.
Very interesting. We're going to take a short break. More with Ian Murphy, Iron Pig Smokehouse. We'll be right back.
We've all heard about the major systems in our bodies, like the digestive, respiratory, nervous, and cardiovascular systems. But there's one essential system discovered in the 90s that you probably never heard of. It makes all of the other systems work smoothly with each other, like a conductor ensuring the different sections of an orchestra all play a beautiful symphony together. This system is called the endocannabinoid system. It has been acknowledged and studied by scientists extensively with support from the National Institutes of Health. As we age, the system weakens. As a result, the different systems in our body stop working together smoothly. That's one of the reasons older adults struggle with pain, inflammation, cognitive decline, and other ailments of aging, for which doctors often prescribe dangerous and addictive pharmaceuticals. But here's the game changer. The system can be restored faster using hemp-derived CBD. When the system is restored, pain subsides, sleep is improved, and stress is reduced. When the system is restored, disease progression can slow down, and years are added to your life, as well as years spent in good health. And 20% of seniors are already using CBD today for pain, arthritis, cancer symptoms, sleep disorders, Alzheimer's, and many other ailments of aging.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
The Iron Pig on Old 27 South across from Otsego Lake is open for breakfast 7 days a week from 8 to 11. Sundays from 8 to 2 with a sumptuous breakfast buffet on the weekends. With golf season open, Iron Pig has room for any size golf group, or bring our delicious menu and legendary barbecue to your group. Either way, the Iron Pig has the team and location to make your up north dining experience truly memorable. Visit Iron Pig Smokehouse on Facebook, where we are always announcing new events and menu additions.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. This is the second segment, staying through the break. Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse over in Gaylord. I've got a theory, political strategy that I'm looking at. Honestly, I think the U.S. Senate seat race is going to be the one with the coattails. I think the candidate they chose, Abdul Rahman Mohammed El Sayed, is going to be very distasteful to a lot of Haley Stevens supporters, establishment Democrats, independents for sure. I think this is going to be a major, major impact on the entire ticket of people voting for Mike Rogers and maybe all the other Republicans as opposed to supporting the Democrat candidate. What's your thoughts on that race?
Well, there certainly should be that narrative out there. And that's what I hear, is that so many people are just ready for a change. I'm not sure about the coattail theory, because Trump should have carried Michigan with Mike Rogers winning that seat. If that's, you know, that's similar theory there, right? I'm hoping that that's going to be the case. It does seem that the Senate race is getting obviously more attention because of Abdul being in the race. There are already a ton of Democrats that are really turned off by the things that this guy says. I think any regular Michigander is not really into this guy. You know, he says things about Mackinac Island. I don't really care, you know, what you think of Mackinac Island, so long as somebody that's representing this state understands how important Mackinac Island is to the tourism industry, especially in northern Michigan. But I just don't think that this guy is really turning on a lot of voters. There are a lot of quote-unquote socialists that are trying to vote for him here in Michigan. But these folks, quite frankly, are low IQ. They haven't met a history lesson that they've ever learned. Therefore, they just want free handouts. They want all this stuff, and they're trying to rebrand socialism and all this other stuff. To me, it's just silly. And I think most of the adults in Michigan see right through that stuff. And hopefully you are correct. There will be some coattails. I'm not sure about at the governor level necessarily, but it's certainly very, very possible. My big thing is we've got to get more conservatives on the Michigan Supreme Court. If we're going to turn Michigan around, it's not just the governor's seat, not just Secretary of State, the Attorney General, getting Mike Rogers into that Senate seat, but we've also got to get more conservatives back on that Supreme Court here in Michigan.
Yeah, and the two candidates, I'm going to reach out to both of them and have them on the show. What do you know about Judge Michael Warren? Let's start off with him.
I hear really good things. Judge Warren has been to the Iron Pig. He held a meet and greet last month. Pretty middle of the road guy. I have a friend that has some stories about him that are not so kind. I have not heard those stories yet. I've heard, by and large, much more favorable things about Judge Warren than not. People are going to like somebody all the time too, either, right? So if this person has had personal things happen in Judge Warren's court that I think, you know, maybe lends him to not liking Judge Warren so much. But with regards to upholding Michigan's constitution, I think Judge Warren will do a great job of that. The other one is Cassie Morse Bills. I have met her as well, although not as in depth as Judge Warren. I think she also, she's a pretty serious person. So I think she would also make a great candidate for Michigan Supreme Court.
Well, one thing I know about Cassandra, I've been told that as a judge up here in northern Michigan, I believe she serves the Oscoda area, very much rule of law, per the Constitution, doesn't really necessarily even hold to quote-unquote legal precedent other cases. She always goes back to original intent, is what I've been told. And I don't know, have you had a chance to sit down and talk with her yet?
I have not, and I'll tell you from that point alone, she's better than six of the seven other Michigan Supreme Court justices right now. those people are making decisions based on feelings, not based on the Michigan Constitution. Now, precedent is important because that's part of the judicial branch. That's part of the amazing thing about the federal Constitution, is a living, breathing document that can constantly be changed by we the people or these challenges brought forth to a court. So precedent is important. I would probably pressure her on that just a little bit. But, I mean, a strict constitutionalist, that's certainly an upgrade from what we have on the court right now.
Well, and the other part of that, Ian, that I think they were referring to is the legal precedent that has been more or less legislated from the bench, where they don't believe that the precedent, these cases are being decided properly. And that's why she's kind of like, yeah, okay, I understand that case, but, you know, she's got that caveat. Because a lot of these cases, especially like you say, recently, Michigan Supreme Court, appellate court decisions, lower courts, they're basically, these judges are so liberal, progressive, they wouldn't know if a constitution came up and was slapped up beside their head with it. They don't even know what it is.
Right. A perfect example of that is the new minimum wage law that was enacted, whatever, a year and a half ago now. They legislated from the bench. That Michigan Supreme Court, basically what they should have done is send it back to the legislature. This was the big challenge to a rise in the minimum wage law and basically a removal of the tip credit portion for restaurants and hospitality industry. That ended up going through a multi-year process. Essentially, a Democrat-led Michigan Supreme Court ruled from the bench and enacted their own timeline even to enact the changes that was in the middle of this whole rub. That, to me, was improper for them to do that. They should have sent it back to the legislature. And even though the legislature was split at the time, that, to me, would have made it even better, an even better law, in my opinion. They should have never even been messing with it. But, you know, we're down those tracks now. The Michigan Supreme Court has ruled. And when that ruling came out, I knew that that was definitely legislating from the bench. And I am totally against that. That's not the job of the judicial branch. That's why we elect people to go to those chambers and argue on our behalf. This court did not do that.
Right. Well, it comes down to elections. And again, even if we do get Michael Warren and Cassandra Morris Bills elected this fall, still going to be a minority position with Brian Zara, 4-3. I just don't see how we can get there by this election. But like you say, it's a critical first step.
Yeah, and I'll tell you real quick, Judge Bernstein has shown some indications that he's willing to sort of cross over, I guess, if you can say that.
Sure.
And specifically with our case, when the health department tried to jump over the appeals court and go right to the Michigan Supreme Court, it was Zara and Bernstein that stood out and said, no, we want to hear this Iron Pig case now because we believe it has great public significance. Unfortunately, the rest of the court didn't necessarily agree. And then the health department ended up dropping their case against us because they knew we were going to win. So,
right.
You know, again, strict constitutionalist, I definitely would fill that circle in on that ballot.
Well, one thing, and again, just for point of clarification, all of your pending problems, issues in the past with the health department, as far as your lawsuit, their lawsuit, the countersuits, all the things, is that now all finally died and is over?
It's done, yeah. You know, there's probably some other avenues that we could take, but given that this Michigan Supreme Court has one conservative on it, there really is nowhere for us to go. In fact, the Court of Appeals told us that, saying, listen, there's a ruling up there right now. What's you know, going to convince us that they would even hear your case? So they essentially just booted us out of the appeals court. So everything from the pandemic era is done and over with. I do still have the right to go back and get some of my fines and my record cleared up. So we'll probably attempt to do that. But obviously, we're looking to the future to see what the Michigan Liquor Control Commission has to say about Iron Pig Bourbon and some of the other things from their raid from June 3rd. And real quick, I'll just tell you, I have not heard anything in recent weeks from the Liquor Commission. They're just sort of lying in the weeds, I guess.
Kind of just sitting on it, waiting to see what happens.
That's the best that I can guess. They sent us messages saying that we did not comply with their order asking for more information, and we simply said, well, according to your rule, this only applies to an applicant for a license. I'm a licensee. So they have not returned any messages or phone calls since then. So they're either building a big case or they've realized that they've stepped in it with the wrong person once again.
Well, it is interesting. And basically, all we can do is ask people to come to the new location, check it out, go to the website, ironpicksmoke.com, check out the pavilion availability, come and enjoy what you're doing as far as music and farm markets and everything else. But basically, Ian, to support you, because it may come down to another legal battle with the potentially the Liquor Control Commission.
Yeah, at the end of the day, there's no reason why I should be afforded my Fourth Amendment right and my Fifth Amendment right as well. And that's ultimately going to be the battle that we're going to take with them. Government overreach has got to stop, and this is simply one avenue that we can take the fight to them. And that's what I say to anybody that's looking to get into government, especially the governor's race. We have got to deregulate Michigan big time. Get these executive branch agencies, the DNRs, the health departments, the liquor commissions, Eagle, all of the Michigan Public Service Commission. These people are unelected and they hold such tremendous power. We don't need to remind your listeners what happened in 2020 and 2021. That is the level of power they still retain to this day. And that is my mission, is to get the word out that these agencies should not have unelected power like they have.
Yeah. And that, of course, was during the China virus. And then the 22 election, last midterm, where 1.7 million Republicans didn't bother to vote. They took the trifecta. They got the majority of the House, and even first time in 40 years since 1982, Ian, they had control of the state Senate. And look at what all they did to us during those 2 years.
Billions of dollars of corporate welfare went out for approximately a promised 20,000 jobs. You know how many of those jobs we got, Randy? 600.
Yeah.
That's all any of these governors need to run on. It's literally that simple. Are we going to continue down the same path, or are we going to make a change and turn this thing around? It's literally that simple.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, we got a lot of good weather. Golfers are coming in, but you've got a lot of stuff happening. Farmers market still Thursdays from 4 to 7?
4 to 7, happy hour every day, 3 to 6, 9 to close. We did book a golf outing for October 3rd. It's literally going to be the last day of the season on the Lakes course, another fundraiser. This one's going to go benefit our friends at Michigan Operation Freedom Outdoors. They're the ones that come in and do the big ice fishing tournament in the wintertime. So we're going to hold a little fundraiser for them in October, October 3rd. Go to ironpigsmoke.com and you can sign up right there.
And that's a Saturday.
That's a Saturday.
Thank you for doing that, Ian.
You bet.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you as always.
On the Hour News of Hour Number 2, we'll be right back.